So we'll read a bit from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6, text from 29. I'll just read the translation, 29, 30, and 31 has also a purport from Srila Prabhupada. So text 29, I'll just read the translation. The demigods approach Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana, and sat down near him. Bali Maharaj was protected by the commanders of the demons and was most opulent, having conquered all the universes. Okay, text 30. After pleasing Bali Maharaj with mild words, Lord Indra, the king of the demigods, who was most intelligent, very politely submitted all the proposals he had learned from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. So now we go to text 31, who will come. 31, yes. Tat tvaroja tadaityasya. Tatranyaya suradipaham. Shambharo rishtanemishcha. Yecha Tripura Vasinaha Tat, all those words, to, but, Arochata, were very pleasing, Daityasya, to Bali Maharaj, Tatra, as well as, Anya, others. Ye, who were. Asura Adipaha, the chiefs of the Asuras. Shambaraha, Shambara. Arishtanemihi, Arishtanemi. Cha, also. Ye, others, who? Cha, and Tripura Vasinaha, all the residents of Tripura. Yeah, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The proposals submitted by King Indra were immediately accepted by Bali Maharaj and his assistants, headed by Shambara and Arishtanemi, and by all the other residents of Tripura. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It appears from this verse that politics, diplomacy, the propensity to cheat, and everything that we find in this world, in individual and social negotiations between two parties, are also present in the upper planetary systems. The demigods went to Bali Maharaj with a proposal to manufacture nectar, and the daityas, the demons, immediately accepted it, thinking that since the demigods were already weak, when the nectar was produced, the demons would take it from them and use it for their own purposes. The demigods, of course, had similar intentions. The only difference is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, was on the side of the demigods, because the demigods were his devotees, whereas the demons did not care about Lord Vishnu. All over the universe, there are two parties, the Vishnu party, or God-conscious party, and the godless party. The godless party is never happy or victorious, but the God-conscious party is always happy and victorious. I think this verse was specially chosen for me because I like this cheating stuff. And when you read it, you would say it's quite mundane, you know. This is where really spiritual, mundane. We're spiritual people and we're talking in Bhagavatam class about cheating. What's this? And we hear that this propensity of cheating is there also in the higher planets. The demigods are cheating. And even more than this, Krishna is also cheating. we heard many times this week that Krishna is stealing butter. This is one of his favorite activities. So, okay. And we hear that we have Krishna himself involved in this kind of tricky things, playing like we had recently the appearance day of Lord Vamanadev. So Lord Vamanadev is tricking Bali Maharaj. He goes, yes, yes, I will just need 3 steps of land. Yes, no problem. Just little. He takes everything. And we have Krishna advising his devotees to cheat, to using not so dharmic things, you know, like classical method, because Mataji was speaking yesterday, giving some examples from Mahabharata. So classical example is Maharaj Yudhishthir. It's classical example. Maharaj Yudhishthir never told a lie in his whole life. So Krishna says, okay, now you tell a lie. And the Maharaj Yudhishthir, what's this? But this dharma is, we should be truthful. And Krishna says, no, 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 I want you to tell a lie. So this is Krishna. This is he sometimes involves in cheating. Why we will? Because he has a higher purpose. He doesn't come just to establish this mundane dharma. He comes to establish pure dharma. And the difference, because sometimes we have this tendency to cheat. The difference is that when Krishna is cheating, it's good for everyone. Everyone is happy. When Krishna is stealing butter, everyone is happy. I mean, the ladies go and complain to Mother Yashoda, yes. But this is just Leela. They are not actually unhappy. They go to Mother Yashoda and say, okay, your son is stealing butter. Yes, yes, I will chastise him. No, actually, we just came to... So they just come to discuss how nicely Krishna is stealing butter. And the same when Krishna is inducing his devotees to cheat a bit, then it's dharma. This is highest dharma. Because the Yamadutas come to Yamaraj. In the case of Ajamil, it's very famous, the story of Ajamil. And they come and say, oh, Ajamil, he's very sinful. Very, very sinful. And but then it comes up, what is dharma? And it's Yamaraj says, dharma to sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma is whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead says. This is dharma. If Krishna says, you kill your neighbor, you kill your neighbor. Sometimes the devotees... because he knows better. Not only because it's Krishna, but because he knows better. And many times we don't understand why he does some things, but yeah, he knows better. So yeah, this is a hard topic for many people in India. They really don't understand how Krishna is inducing Yudhishthir to lie. Or, but actually, whatever Krishna does is perfect. So, and then comes the questions. Okay, how do we apply it? Are the devotees supposed to cheat sometimes? Yes, no, maybe. And then there is a very nice purport I really like from Srila Prabhupada. That I'll try to read. It's in Canto 7. And the context of this purport is that Prahlad Maharaj comes home from school and from Gurukul, and Shandamarkaya, they are trying to teach him politics and diplomacy and all things. And he comes home, and Hiranyakashipu tells him, "What did you learn in school? What, tell me something nice from school." And he said, "Well, what I learned very nice is that you should give up everything, go to the forest, and surrender to Krishna." And Hiranyakashipu is like, "What? What's this?" And then there's this verse, which can you just scroll down a bit? I will not read the Sanskrit. So then, this is what he tells to Shanda and Amarka. Hiranyakashipu advised his assistants. "My dear," okay, I'll try to read from here because it's okay. We're back online. Okay, he says, Hiranyakashipu advised his assistants, "My dear demons, give complete protection to this boy at the Gurukul, where he is instructed, so that his intelligence will not be further influenced by Vaishnavas who may go there in disguise." So Hiranyakashipu is thinking, okay, maybe some Vaishnavas came to teach him in disguise. And I have to protect my son from the bad influence of the Vaishnavas. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says some very nice things. He said, in our Krishna consciousness movement, the tactic of dressing oneself like an ordinary karmi is necessary, because everyone in the demoniac kingdom is against the Vaishnava teachings. Krishna consciousness is not at all to the liking of the demons of the present age. As soon as they see a Vaishnava dressed in saffron garments with beads on his neck and tilaka on his forehead, they are immediately irritated. They criticize the Vaishnavas by sarcastically saying Hare Krishna, and some people also chant Hare Krishna sincerely. In either case, since Hare Krishna is absolute, whether one chants it jokingly or sincerely, it will have its effect. The Vaishnavas are pleased when the demons chant Hare Krishna, because this shows that the Hare Krishna movement is taking ground. The greater demons, like Hiranyakashipu, are always prepared to chastise the Vaishnavas, and they try to make arrangements so that Vaishnavas will not come to sell their books and preach Krishna consciousness. Thus, what was done by Hiranyakashipu long, long ago is still being done. That is the way of materialistic life. Demons or materialists do not at all like the advancement of Krishna consciousness, and they try to hinder it in many ways. Yet the preachers of Krishna consciousness must go forward in their Vaishnava dress or any other dress for the purpose of preaching. And this is the nicest thing. She says, the Chanakya Pandit says that if an honest person deals with a great cheater, it is necessary for him to become a cheater also. Not for the purpose of cheating, but to make his preaching successful. So this is how we can apply this this cheating propensity, because we are here, and there's always a fight between Vaishnavas and non-Vaishnavas. Not always with weapons, sometimes with ideas. So there's always this position that devotees, they are trying to trick the demons, and the demons are trying to trick the devotees. The demons, the non-devotees, they are trying to convince us to eat at McDonald's. and do many other things. And we are trying to trick everyone into chanting Hare Krishna. So that's it. So of course, when we do this, we should be really careful. And because if we tell too many lies, it's not good. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada, devotees would start saying that they were collecting for the hungry kids in India. And so Srila Prabhupada, when he found out, he said, okay, if you're collecting for the hungry kids in India, then go in India and feed the hungry kids. So we shouldn't go too far with this, but we can tell some. Mostly, what we do is tell some white lies, or mostly many times we just say some things which they like to hear, but don't say so many other things. Like, for example, we go and distribute cookies, which is prasadam. For us, it's clear, it's prasadam. It's a food offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Krishna. So we don't say this to people. We have happy cookies. This is happy cookies. Because if you go and say, okay, this is food offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and it helps you to surrender to Him, ah, maybe they won't like it. Especially in the West. Maybe, probably in India you can go and say, this is prasadam. Yeah. But here, no. So, but we're distributing happy cookies. And also we go with Harinam. I don't think so many people, they know that, oh, this is mantras that connect, that glorification of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are praying for to Him for devotional service. Oh, mostly they are thinking, oh, that's nice music. They look happy. That's it. And probably when sometimes we engage them in chanting, they probably, Hare Krishna, they say, Hare Krishna, they are very enthusiastic. Probably they don't know what Hare Krishna means. And, so they are thinking, oh, this is something enjoyable. Okay, nice. So also, when we distribute books, most of the times we don't say this is books on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how to surrender to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because you are eternally servant of Krishna. So we don't say this. We mostly say this is books on yoga and meditation, about the soul, how to find inner peace, how to get free from stress. Which is true. If you chant Hare Krishna, you will find, get some inner peace, you will get all this. But we're just not telling everything. Saying some part. And then later they will find out. So, and this is good, because there was this discussion in some classes that about preaching. How do you preach to, maybe how do you preach to a Mayavadi? And then and there was a senior devotee who was telling about his preaching in Albania. And he said there was one person coming to his classes he gave there, and he was a Mayavadi. So I was thinking, oh, how do you preach to him? And I was thinking he will just like smash him, you know, like really hard philosophy. Yeah, yeah. But he told that, no, I just don't take him so seriously. Because most of the people, they have no idea what they're talking about. They speak some philosophy, but their philosophy doesn't really make any sense. So mostly what we do in with these people, and I think Jagannath Sutta Prabhu said this, we just become friends, give them some prasadam, give them something they can appreciate. So we can give them some parts of our philosophy they can appreciate. And then when we have some common ground, like these days I was in center of Ljubljana, and I met one guy. First thing he told me, I'm an atheist. Atheist. But if I would be something, I would be a Hare Krishna. So then after I discussed a bit more with him and told him about karma, reincarnation, I mean like topics that he would agree. And he would agree, he was agreeing with everything, you know. Like we had a nice discussion, he was agreeing with everything. Then he told me he has like maybe five of our books at home. Yeah. And then he said, he was nice. And then when he left, he said, I don't have any place to put the books. I have anyway some books, but I will give some donation. So he gave a consistent donation. And there's some example because people, they say, oh, I'm an atheist. Yes, they don't know. They have no idea what they're talking about. And I have also a similar experience which I had with someone who became a devotee. He said he was very attracted to the devotees because devotees were friendly. He liked the food. He liked the prasadam. And he had some difficulties with this idea that God is a person. So he said it to me, really, frankly. But after some time, he said, oh, if you accept it, then okay, maybe it's true. So somehow, because he liked the devotees, he accepted the idea. Oh, Krishna is God. Okay. So mostly what I see, this is good preaching to this kind of people. You just become friendly, give them what they can accept, and at some point you don't need to mention this topic which is difficult for them from the beginning, and then at some point you can you give him some prasadam, you're nice to him, yes, you just drop it like, and by the way, you know, Krishna is also God, and he's a person. And then he can accept. Sometimes they just accept. Oh, okay, Krishna is God, okay. Like I was talking to Bhakta Luka, and he told me his experience, very similar. He said he was coming, and he said, okay, this is nice food, nice music, nice devotees. There must be something here. So, probably Krishna is God, yeah. Okay. So this is, sometimes we focus so much on philosophy, we think people are like so much philosophically inclined. But, people are more attracted to devotees, to, prasadam. Not so much about prasadam, it's about loving exchanging, because prasadam is one loving exchange. Okay, so that's a bit of detour, but it's a really nice thing to understand how So we actually, these kind of people, they are actually tricked into Krishna consciousness. But, yeah, I mean, why not? It's for their benefit. It's not that we're cheating them and trying to get something from them. No, we're just bypassing some bad tendencies they have and helping them become Krishna conscious. Yeah, that's good. Here, one other thing is that the demigods, they are executing Krishna's plan. And yeah, we are also doing that. We are trying to execute Srila Prabhupada's plan. Because in our movement, Krishna's plan is Srila Prabhupada's plan. And a big part of this plan is book distribution. And Dayalu Prabhu asked last time a question, which I was meditating for last week or something. How to get more devotees to do book distribution. So, yeah. So, I will try to just give some reasons why people can, devotees can go in book distribution. So, I started last time with the idea of Dharma. And, yeah, I mean, this is reasons which apply for me, so you can see if they are inspiring for you also. So one thing that worked for me was that I understood that Srila Prabhupada likes it. There's so many quotes about this. I'll just read one. Sometimes they are very, very powerful, and Srila Prabhupada is very outspoken on this. So this is very short about book sales figures. So Srila Prabhupada says, "Whenever I get report of my book selling, I feel strength. Regarding strength. 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 Powerful. Strength. Yeah, yeah. Regarding book sales figure, please endeavor in this way. This is the only solace of my life. When I hear that my books are selling so nicely, I become energetic like a young man." So, yeah, this is one of the quotes from Srila Prabhupada. Of course, this doesn't mean we should neglect everything else. No, of course. But Srila Prabhupada was very fond of this book distribution. And for me, this was something that inspired me to do it. And one way to see it is as a sort of duty. And if you think from material perspective, nobody wants to go out for Sankirtan. There is practically no reason to go out for Sankirtan. You're trying to sell some books which nobody wants. It's practical. I think in Austria they hired an expert salesman to sell Bhagavad Gita. And he was very good. I mean, he was expert salesman. And he accepted the challenge. And he said, "Okay, sure, no problem." So then he went out to distribute some Bhagavad Gitas. And after a few days, he just came back. He said, "No, this is impossible. No, this is impossible. Selling this Bhagavad Gita is impossible. No, nobody wants it. Nobody. It's impossible to sell it." You know? So from material perspective, we see that this is something. Why? I mean, also we hear from our philosophy that everyone has come to the material world to forget Krishna. And what we are doing, we're just going there and say, do you want a book on how to surrender to Krishna? So they will say, no, go away, sure. So, yeah, this, from this material perspective, there's no reason to do it. Like, also in this case, the demigods, the last thing they wanted to do was work together with the demons. That's the last thing they wanted to do. I mean, they were praying to, like Adipurusha Prabhu so nicely explained, they were praying to Lord Krishna, and now Krishna comes and solves the problem. That, and Krishna says, no, no, you work together with the demon. Oh, really? So, from some perspective, Sankirtan is not something you want to do. I talk to some Sankirtan devotees, and they tell me also that after many years of Sankirtan, the first thing when they are going for Sankirtan is like, the mind comes and, oh, what you're doing? What's this? go and take some more prasada. You're tired. You need some rest. Yes, you do this. Yes. And the what you learn in time is not that these kind of thoughts don't come up. Oh, they come every day. And for many Sankirtan devotees, they come every day. But still, you learn how to manage them. You know, like, okay, yes. I don't feel like it, but Srila Prabhupada likes it. So, okay, I will do something. So usually this is the hardest thing to do, to get out of the door, to go out, then for success. Then you're like, strike one against Maya. And then second thing is then, okay, you also have some books, and then you can get the books out of the bag. Let's also put them in your hand. And then you can go to people. Yeah, and... yeah, from some perspective it's hard. But this is something we somehow we don't want to do, but we somehow can use the intelligence to say, yeah, but this is good. This is good for me, this is good for the others, this is good for the movement. So, okay, I will do it. And then because we also here we know that happiness in the mode of goodness is first poison. We have this example of demigods and demons, and that first comes the poison. So first thing you go in Sankirtan, there's some poison. Why go? Why? People are so nasty. Yes, no, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. But after some time, there is some, because it's somehow mystical. after some time, you just feel Lord Chaitanya pouring some mercy. And you're like so ecstatic. Like, wow. You had this experience? Yeah, many times. Huh? Every Sankirtan, every person who has gone to Sankirtan, they know this. They go and they're like, oh. And then that's the out of duty, like, so you want a book? Nobody wants. And then suddenly something changes. You're like, wow. Ecstatic. Really ecstatic. I mean, many people... sometimes new devotees need some gentle push. I had one friend in Romania. He always, you know, I needed to get him out on to get a bit of push to get him out on the street. But after he was so happy that he's like, oh, thank you. And after lots of time, even if they are not distributing books anymore, they still remember it. Wow, that was nice. You know, you remember that. Yeah, like, remember that experience. Wow, that was nice. Yeah, because after the poison, there's some poison, which is our purification. It's not coming from outside. It's our purification. It's, and then there's some nectar, and this nectar is what, yeah, what keeps us in Krishna consciousness. There's some nectar. Wow, nice. Yeah. So another thing which keeps us out is like we think there's so high expectation, like wow, I need to distribute hundreds of books and I need to. But one thing I learned from salesman. This is classical sales technique. They say, okay, actually I learned from some devotees, and they said, okay, you go out and you ask 100 people and then you come back to the temple. No problem. I mean, your duty is not, because you cannot control what they say, you know, but how they react. But you can just go out, ask 100 people and then you go back. Prasadam, all good. No problem, you know, like, no pressure. And this is very nice technique, which I learned, and it's good for many people, that it takes the pressure off, because you think, oh yeah, now I have to distribute 20 books and so on and so on. No, I just have to ask everyone. Okay, hello sir, do you want a book? Yeah, maybe a bit, put it more nicely. I mean, the best I can, you know, like karma yoga, I'm doing my duty. Hello, sir, you want a book? No, you don't want a book? Thank you, no problem. Hello, sir, do you want a book? No, you don't want a book? No problem, thank you. So you ask 100 people, and then you come back to the temple. That's it. That's all. Your duty for today is finished. So this is a very nice technique. It's very, I mean, because... No pressure. You can do this. Is it difficult? No, not so difficult. Okay. I don't care. I'm not attached. I don't care about the result. I mean, I care, but I don't care. This is karma yoga. So I'm doing my best, but the result is ultimately not in my hands. Yeah, so this is a nice thing, how to get the... Or you think, oh, this is... I was going sometimes with Sankirtan devotees who are a lot better than me. So you'd go out and you would take the books, and by the time you take the books out of the bag, he's already distributed three books or five books. And then you're like, and they have certain rhythm, and you're trying to copy their rhythm, and they're like, oh no, doesn't work for me. And then I would just stop and say, okay, he has his rhythm, I have my rhythm. Yeah, this is his rhythm, I have my rhythm. I cannot do like him. I don't have to. He will distribute 50 books, I will distribute 10. Okay, no problem. Yeah. Different capacities, like Devendra Prabhu was saying that every person has a different 100%, you know. So why they have a different 100%. So I gave my best, I distributed 10 books, he gave his best, he distributed 50 books. Perfect, all good. Yeah, so this is some ways to get the pressure off, because sometimes there's some pressure which we think, oh yeah, I have to distribute. No, just ask some people, and yeah, this is it. That's it. Okay, so this is one thing that is inspiring for me, and other thing which is really inspiring. I'll try to not to go too long. Yeah, I'm just thinking, what can go wrong, you know? Because the mind is always, and this is horrible, this wow, bad. But when you think, this is a technique which I learned from some American personal development stuff. Then you take a situation and you say, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, I'm going for Sankirtan. What's the worst that can happen? I come back with the books. No? So what? I mean, or some people will tell me, yeah, do something useful for humanity, go get a job. So what? Is this something I can tolerate? Yeah, sure, of course. Or sometimes there are some, but I mean, nothing happened to me. That just 2 days ago, I got some tear gas here. But actually, I mean, this is just to make it. But actually, the tear gas was like a few hundred meters away, and I got a bit of smell, you know, like. And there was a few tears in my eyes, and I was crying a bit. But I mean, something really that you can tolerate. So, and then what I can do in this case is I also like to read so much of. Yeah, the police were, there was some demonstration and the police were trying to stop with some tear gas and some, you could feel it in the air. So, yeah, a bit, no problem. So what I also like is to read about other devotees in a lot more difficult situations. I will just scratch the surface because I'm late. So I like to read about Prahlad Maharaj. So he was chanting Hare Krishna, and he so many things happened. He was thrown to snakes. He was thrown into boiling oil. He was all sort of. He was just continuing chanting Hare Krishna. Or you can read about Srila Prabhupada, all his life, all the austerities he made. Or, yeah, next time. Or you can, there's this book, Salted Bread. So you read about the devotees in the USSR, what the austerities they had to take to distribute books, to preach. And then when I read these kind of books, this is very inspiring. And I'm thinking, I will go to the center, and the worst thing that they can do is just tell me to go get a job or say no. Come on, I can do something. So this is something that's really inspiring for me. I will maybe next time I will I can talk a bit more about this. Okay, so that's a few reasons. Hope. That's useful for you. If you have some maybe quick comments and or questions, because we're a bit. Yes, Mataji, please.
Thank you, Prabhu. So you. Nice to hear about book distribution and your realizations about, you know, sometimes it can be so difficult. As you were speaking, I was thinking that it's not just, you know, that particular seva. Even to get up from Mangalarti, we can, you know, the mind is saying, oh, you're very tired, oh, you need more rest, oh, you just recovered from sickness. I mean, so many excuses. So like this, you know, Maya is always challenging us. Whether it is book distribution or as simple as getting up for Mangalarti or chanting our rounds or attending class. So thank you for reminding us that, you know, Maya is always there ready to catch us. And we have to be on guard against being pulled down again and going against devotional service. I was also quite intrigued by different experiences you had and how you work your way through that. To reach a better understanding and make peace. You know, people heckling us and say, go get a job and, you know, do like this and do like that. And, you know, we just remain calm and continue to be friendly. That itself is preaching. So I was very happy to see that you've reached the point where people cannot heckle you or provoke you into losing your cool, as they say. So that is very nice to see. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Yeah, this is something you learn in Sankirtan. You have to, otherwise you won't survive. Not everyone will be nice to you. But Krishna will protect you, so... So, yeah, it's we don't care so much about what non-devotees think. We want them to like us, of course, because it's for their benefit. But we want to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna to like us. So, okay. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.